Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Please raise your right hand. Do you, Jennifer Brayer, Teniade Broughton, Casey Jones, and Delarian Wiggins, solemnly swear or affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the Government of the United States and of the State of Florida against all enemies, domestic or foreign, and that you will bear true faith, loyalty, and allegiance to the same, that you're entitled to hold office under the Constitution, and that you're eligible to hold the office of members of City Council, and that you'll faithfully execute the duties of said office on which you're about to enter, according to the best of your knowledge and ability, so help you God. Thank you. Congratulations.
So, Pensacola City Council, new members, or, well, old members, re-sworn in. Sworn in again? I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Teniade Broughton, Jen Brayer, Delarian Wiggins, and Casey Jones, who Casey was unopposed, I believe, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so all won their re-election, all get sworn in yesterday. I think it's fascinating how every different entity does this differently. You know, in Escambia County, you get like 15 oaths. They stand up there forever and they do. Everybody does it individually. There's a, you know, big party. Several hundred people are there. Santa Rosa County, they do one oath, but they do it individually. And then, again, you know, there's a lot of people there. There was about eight people at the city council. As far as I could tell, it didn't seem like there was anybody there on the video. You know, a few friends and family, but it wasn't a big deal. They just did it en masse, you know, sort of like swearing in Congress. Do you swear? We swear. We're done. You know, like it was all over. Like there was no ceremony to this whatsoever. But I kind of like it. You know, everybody's doing it at the same time. Like, no big deal. I do want to give some credit here, though. The other thing I notice is, and, you know, this happens every couple of years when you watch this, is that the swearing in then carries comments, you know, and new and returning people often feel the need to talk a lot, you know. And I want to give some credit to the Pensacola City Council members because first and foremost, and this is the blue ribbon prize for Teniade Broughton. Okay, the first voice you're going to hear is Casey Jones, who is the, you know, former president. They selected a president yesterday. But Casey Jones introduces her, and then you're going to hear, this is her lengthy commentary.
All right. Just want to give everybody a chance to make a brief statement, if you'd like to. We'll start.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much.
That's brief, yeah.
That's it. That's it. I think she had Andy Kaufman write her speech. Thank you very much. I love it. Clocking in at a cool 1.5 seconds. Next longer, Jen Brayer.
Councilman Brayer.
It's just an honor and privilege to represent my district and to have my family here. And they've worked so hard for this, and I'm proud that they're all here. So thanks, guys.
Pretty good. 13 seconds. Pretty good. Keeping it tight. Delarian Wiggins. He doesn't talk a lot, but he's a little bit more of a long talker. Not a super long talker, but, you know, this is definitely third place.
Yes, just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. My law enforcement family of 19 years is here. Thank you, Sheriff, for coming out. My mom, who's 86, and she's here with me to celebrate this wonderful occasion. So I want to thank each and every one of you. And also just want to thank the citizens of District 7 for, you know, having the faith in me to continue on the mission, and also to support the mayor and the city staff on the great things that we're doing for the city of Pensacola. So again, thank you, each and every one of you, for coming out. And we truly look forward to celebrating with y'all upstairs, second floor, I think. But, you know, and also a special shout out to Kevin, it's his birthday, so I just wanted to throw that little nugget out there. But thank you for coming out. And again, this means the world to me, so thank you.
All right, Delarian. The ladies had you on brevity, 46 seconds, which is, by county commission standards, quite brief. For city council, yeah, it's in between. And then Casey Jones, outgoing council president.
Yeah, I just want to thank my family, my wife Kristen over there, and our two kids for supporting me for the last 4 years and tonight or today, as well as our extended family, my parents, in-laws, everyone that has supported me for the last 4 years, and you know, the give and take that you have to have with this type of a duty. So also thank the all of my constituents, all the citizens in District 3 for trusting in me and letting me represent them up here for another 4 years. And finally, just thank God for helping me be in this position and serve faithfully. So.
He said duty. The 12-year-old inside of me, that's what I heard. So then, you know, which was good. You know, also about 46 seconds. So Tenney Day Broughton definitely wins the Brevity Award.
Thank you all very much.
I love it. It's the best speech I ever heard. And then they got into the selecting of the new president and the vice president. We'll explain that in just a second. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No new accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling southbound on Davis Highway coming up to the Olive Road exit, we're seeing some congestion delays there, and eastbound and westbound of Olive Road are also seeing some delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, by the way, we are live tomorrow and on Friday. Slightly abbreviated hours. Tomorrow we come in at 6 instead of at 5, but yeah, we are live doing this show every single day of the year, weekdays, except for Christmas. It's the only day we take off. So if you're wondering whether we're going to be on tomorrow, you know, while you're doing your early Thanksgiving prep, we're here. We're here talking with you, taking your texts, probably have a frivolous conversation, you know, might play some turkey drop audio, just might possibly do a little WKRP. Anyway, but we always do every year, and Black Friday, same thing. So back to city council yesterday for the Pensacola City Council doing their installation meeting and then having the conversation about who they want to be president. Now, there were two people named nominated to be president, Jen Brayer, who had just gotten reelected, and Jared Moore, who has been the city council president before. And Jen Brayer says,
thank you very much. It has been an honor to serve these last 4 years, and I believe that I've been working up the ranks, having supported both council and the city of Pensacola, and doing the vice presidency or the vice chair for the CRA, then the chair of the CRA, so working my way up to this. I, by all means, think that Councilmember Moore is an excellent president. He has been an excellent one in the past, and there would be absolutely nothing wrong with that happening again. However, we have a group of us that have not had that opportunity yet. So as we've been you know, moving this around and giving opportunity, I think that this is my opportunity to move up after serving a full term, as I said, and waiting in line for this opportunity. So I thank you all, and I obviously will support the council's decision.
Yeah, so kind of it's my turn, you know, kind of, right? Which, it's interesting also how these different organizations, you know, like, for example, in Santa Rosa County, the county commission, they elect a chair and a vice chair. In Escambia County, they have a rotation, and they do tinker with that rotation for political value, my opinion. I don't think it's the opinion I have to, you know, argue an awful lot for if you look at how it's been done. But, you know, it is basically on a five-person rotation, so everybody gets a chance. I mean, unless you're only in there for 4 years and you happen to fall in the gap, which can happen. But, you know, in Pensacola, they don't do it that way. They don't rotate. There are seven of them. Probably ought to be five, but it is seven. You know, I mean, just five is a good number usually for these things. But it's seven, and they, you know, they pick, they vote, they nominate, and then they vote. So Jen Brayer says, it's kind of been my turn. I'm ready. I've been doing these things. Jared Moore.
Thank you. Council Vice President Moore.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Obviously appreciative of the nominations and the opportunity to be considered for this leadership role. Obviously, we've seen what good leadership does for the effectiveness and efficiency of the meetings. And Councilman Jones has kept us on a constructive path. There's room for dissent, but we keep moving forward, and Councilmember Wiggins before him, same thing. That's a clear expectations of what behaviors are expected, and we keep, it's kind of what's made this council boring, right? I think I heard the commission, the Escambia Commission, saying that we're going to make the commission boring again. I think it's what's made this council boring. There's room for dissent, but we have constructive dialogue. There's mutual respect among our members. So certainly grateful to be considered. Would be honored to lead this council as the president and trust whatever the decision is of this council. Thank you.
Make it boring. Why is everybody trying to make my show suck? No, Pensacola City Council has been boring. Basically, I mean, other than a few notable exceptions, it has been boring meetings, which is good governance, not particularly good radio. I always say I want these meetings to be effective, and then, you know, when they're not, we just kind of enjoy it. Milton. But still, you know, that's been the buzzword. Everybody wants to. I think all of these politicians who, most of them listen to this show, they're like, I just don't want to be featured on Andrew's show anymore. That's the thing. And, well, you know, time will tell. That was Mike Kohler had made that comment at the Escambia County Commission meeting, so time will tell. So here's the thing you need to understand. Just Pensacola City Council has been very congenial, very collegial. The one thing worth noting is that it's a mostly seven-person unanimous vote on everything. If there's going to be disagreement, the disagreement is going to tend to break out 5-2. It's going to tend to be Jim Brayer and Charles Baer, two different names, voting on the other on the no side of whatever it is, and raising objections and criticizing and complaining, you know, kind of being against the mayor is a little bit more common for them. Whereas the other five are pretty consistently for the mayor's view and tend to all kind of vote the same way. Again, most of the votes are 7-0. But if there is conflict or dissent, then it's going to be 5-2. And in this case, what do you think this vote turned out to be?
And our new council president will be Councilman Moore.
He didn't announce it, but I asked on a 5-2 vote. Now, they don't say who voted which way, but pretty obviously Charles Baer, who spoke up on behalf of Jen Brayer and Jen Brayer. Now, I like both. I actually like all the members of the city council. I think they all bring their own unique perspective. But here's the one thing is if you're going to have this kind of 5-2 scenario, then it sort of makes more sense to have one of the five be the council president, setting the agenda, organizing the schedule, deciding who sits where and all that. Charles Baer made a really interesting comment. He said when he was president, he deliberately kept somebody from sitting where they wanted to sit because they were real problematic for him. That's just, you don't have to say it out loud. I didn't cut the clip. I should have cut the clip now that I'm thinking about it. But anyway, so they voted 5-2. And what was also, I thought, and I understand that, because Jen is often kind of raising the challenges, raising the disagreement. She does it in a very genial way, but it's, you know, that's sort of the issue, I think. So then she tried to be vice president. Same argument. Is my time. Surely you're not going to say no to me twice. Yeah, they did. Allison Patton is the vice president of the council. I felt a little bit bad for Jen about that because she has been like the chair of the CRA and, you know, that's the sub-entity of sorts of the council. Anyway, so Allison Patton, who will also do a good job as vice chair, and all you really do as vice chair is when the president can't be there, you're the president. I mean, it's not real high duties. It's not like you're doing an awful lot of stuff. Last thing, Mayor D.C. Reeves made comments as well.
Just how appreciative I am. I don't take making the city and its meetings boring lightly. I think that is a testament, certainly, to our administration, who does all of the heavy lifting. I'm here to represent them, and certainly you are here to represent the 55,000 people who live here. So I do not glaze over lightly the idea that having the same set of members here for 4 years not only certainly helps us do our job better and understand how things move forward, but also we take that as a testament that we believe our constituents believe that this city is going in the right direction. So
yeah, I mean, all of that's pretty accurate, as opposed to what's that city over the water? The city over the water had a lot of drama, a lot of turnover in the city council, perhaps in part because of drama that wasn't even their fault. And I still worry that I had too much influence on that election inadvertently, because the side in the Milton City Council that's the 6-2, four of them got thrown out. And it could have been because the Save Our Blackwater folks are right, or they got more people on their side. It could also be because a lot of people just got sick of hearing about the drama in Milton and wanted to vote out all the incumbents, even though it was those incumbents were the source of the drama. So I don't know. What can you do? Anyway, so congratulations to new council again, President Jared Moore, Vice President Allison Patton, and Jen Brayer. You keep doing what you're doing. You're playing a good role on the city council. I appreciate your work. 624 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is your name?
My name is Sir Lancelot of Camelot.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Right, off you go.
Oh, thank you.
That's easy. 627 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
No accidents to report right now, but we are seeing some delays both north and southbound on Davis Highway at Johnson Avenue. Just congestion delays there. So just pack a little extra time for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, I like that. Pack a little extra time.
I know.
I like that. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President-elect Trump's case over his alleged mishandling of classified documents has been dismissed. Special Counsel Jack Smith moved to have the cases dropped due to the Justice Department policy that a sitting president cannot be prosecuted. An animal rights extremist accused of setting off 2 bombs in Northern California 20 years ago has been captured in Wales. The UK National Crime Agency said Welsh police captured 46-year-old Daniel Andreas San Diego this week. The 46-year-old San Diego is accused of setting off 2 homemade pipe bombs in the Bay Area of California back in 2003. And the holiday shopping season unofficially begins this week with Black Friday. Retailers holding their holiday sales. Also, over the weekend on Small Business Saturday and on Cyber Monday, every day's got its own name. They are expecting a record amount of spending this year, up to $1 trillion.
Yeah, and isn't Tuesday is like Giving Tuesday? Isn't that the thing afterwards?
I believe so.
And plus, haven't all of these stores been running like Black Friday sale 1, Black Friday
right,
sale
yeah, they
2.
All, the Black Friday sales all start just, like 2 weeks before Black Friday.
It's all, which, honestly, it makes sense given the internet environment. But Black Friday just is not what it used to be. It's just not the,
oh,
you know,
the good old days.
You remember the good old days when you'd go spend $18 on the PNJ that day and, you know,
right.
you'd go and look through the flyers and,
you had to have a strategy. You know, you would have to look through everything.
Yes.
You would have to know what you wanted, know which stores opened at which times. You'd have to wait through the lines.
You'd go to Toys R Us maybe first, and then go to Academy. Did you do Best Buy? Did you do nowadays? Just, you know, whatever. Just bought
who had
online.
The better doorbusters?
That's
was
right.
It Walmart
that's
or Target.
Right. I'm one of the, and we used to. I used to always get up kind of early and go look around at all the stores and see where the big line. And now I'm like, whatever. there's usually 100 people at Academy, is what I notice. And then beyond that, you know, everybody bought their stuff online already. Pardon me. Coming up next, we're gonna talk to Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety in Escambia County. We'll talk to him a little bit about fire safety. Don't drop the turkey in Frozen. And also the graduating class of the first class of the Escambia County Fire Cadet Program. So very, very cool. We'll talk to him coming up next.
Cough.
Sorry.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. After more than a year of cross-border missile and rocket strikes, an Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire is in effect in Lebanon.
The terms of the ceasefire are as follows. There is a 60-day truce. Israeli troops will withdraw, and Hezbollah troops will pull north. The monitoring will be done by the UN and the Lebanese army, and Israel has the right to defend itself if Hezbollah breaches the agreement.
Fox's Benjamin Hall. Mexico's president, Claudia Sheinbaum, is threatening to retaliate if President-elect Trump imposes tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports until more is done about border security and drug smuggling.
To one tariff will come another and so on until we put our common businesses at risk.
She says the U.S. could address the cause of migration by spending some of what's spent on war on peace, and that drugs are an American public health and consumption problem, not Mexico's. But she says she's willing to talk. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 61 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. The Escambia County man wanted on a homicide charge has turned himself into authorities. The PNJ is reporting that 35-year-old Arrington Moultrie surrendered himself at the Escambia Sheriff's Office on Tuesday. Moultrie was wanted on charges related to a homicide at a home on Hampton Road earlier this month. Investigators believe the victim had taken a backpack from the home and say Moultrie shot the man as he was getting in a car to leave. The victim was found at a nearby convenience store and ended up dying. Campers at one of the area's largest homeless camps have about a week now before they have to move on. December 2nd is the deadline for Escambia County to clear out the Beggs Lane camp. County staff and representatives from local service organizations have been on site helping people find a new place to go. The News Journal reports that several homeless residents took advantage of a reconnection program and got on buses to reconnect with family members. They believe there could still be 60 to 80 people at that camp. The property the camp is on was deeded to Escambia County by the Environmental Protection Agency years ago. Law enforcement will begin enforcing a statewide public camping ban as of next year. If local governments don't enforce that law, they could be held liable in lawsuits. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they've recently added to their fleet of mobile cameras. They currently have several of them. Five is what they have right now. They were used at the Pensacola Interstate Fair this year. Sheriff Simmons says they're a great crime deterrent.
In the area?
I think that's the greatest value of them. Yeah. I know that if I was shopping, I would park near that camera.
Yeah.
As I'm walking in and out of a store, when I come with my, whatever shopping gifts I've picked up, but also just for sake of people leaving my car alone.
Yeah.
I would find that location, park as close as I can.
You may not be able to park.
It's like you want to park under a light.
Right.
The mobile units are being placed at several stores across Escambia County during the busy holiday shopping season. Well, there might not be a lot of elbow room at all the local bars tonight, the day before Thanksgiving, commonly known as Drinksgiving, one of the busiest nights of the year for bars. It rivals New Year's Eve. The Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Alex Camacho says if you're going out tonight, be smart. He says patrols are out in full force ahead of Thanksgiving.
We know it's a very festive time, and we want everybody to just really celebrate responsibly, not getting behind the wheel if they've been drinking or taking any maybe prescribed drugs that may cause impairment.
And if you do find yourself in a bind, AAA has launched its tow-to-go program, and that runs tonight through Monday. A tow truck can take you and your car to a safe location within a 10-mile radius, although they do specify that that should be your last resort. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Starting to see some delays, though, at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29. Both north and southbound are seeing some congestion delays there. Just minor, but I thought I'd let you know about it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a mostly cloudy to sky day today with high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. For your Thanksgiving, 40% chance of some light to moderate showers, high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48 degrees. Getting much cooler on that Friday, high near 58 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 38. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 61 degrees, cloudy skies across the area. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors awaited a key inflation reading and weighed statements from the Federal Reserve meeting minutes from November. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was down by more than 4 basis points at 4.261%. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index is set for release at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect a year-over-year increase of 2.8% for the core reading. If Donald Trump makes good on his threat to slap 25% tariffs on everything imported from Mexico and Canada, the price increases that could follow will collide with his campaign promise to give American families a break from inflation. Economists say companies would have little choice but to pass along the added costs, dramatically raising prices for food, clothing, automobiles, booze, and other goods. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 123. That's your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Daryl's Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the area. And this holiday season, they're featuring baby lock machines with many models in stock and starting at just $249. Radiance, the newest baby lock model, will be arriving soon. Black Friday deals include get a free baby lock trolley carrying case or a machine cover with a machine purchase. Financing is available. Call 850-438-5444. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewingandpensacola.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us, we have one of our favorite local members of government. He probably doesn't like to be slandered that way, but he is. he's even a manager. The Director of Public Safety, Eric Gilmore for Escambia County. Eric, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. Please don't slander me like that.
He is a very governmental person. Is that, you don't want me to say that? Eric Gilmore is a guy who is at heart, he's a volunteer firefighter who's just gotten promoted to his level of capability. Not past it, but to it for sure. So anyway, that's why he winds up running. You know, when you do things well, you wind up running everything, right? So there you are.
Right.
I wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about this first class of graduates from the Fire Academy. So for people who maybe haven't been following this story, it's something that you guys just implemented in May, right? What is the Fire Academy?
Okay, so typically when we hire a cadet, they have no fire training whatsoever. They're green, they're fresh off the street, and they go through our physical agility test. They pass it. They go to an interview. They find out that we find if they have the right personality to fit organization, and we hire them on. And then we pay them to go to class to get their Fire 2 standards. We typically send them to Georgetown for that. By doing Georgetown, nothing wrong with Georgetown or anything, but it's on their timeline, and we have to work around their schedule. And we do work together to try to get the schedule done. But some classes start in October, then some start in spring. We decided to do our own fire academy this time. We said, look, the instructors that Georgetown uses, they work for us. They're our firefighters, our own fire lieutenants. Let's see if we can just do our own class. That way, when we teach the students, they're taught to our standard to begin with. They're taught the fire standards, the state standards, and then we'll go forward from there and see if we can reduce the timeline. And lo and behold, it worked out. And we have our first inaugural class of 15 firefighters. They all 100% passed their state day, which is a very good attrition rate. I think during the process, we only lost one firefighter throughout the program, personal issues. And typically when we hire a cadet class, we usually lose somewhere around 5 to 7, some for personal issues.
Out of how many? 5 to 7 out of how many?
5 to 7 out of about 15 people, okay. Or actually about 20 people.
Okay.
So that's typical what we lose. So
normal attrition is in the like 25-30% range. This time around, you're talking like 6 or 7%, one person out of a class. I mean, that's fantastic. That alone is a testament to the value of the process, right? Because, you know, it means that you're really doing a good job of acclimating them to the culture, teaching them, getting them exposed. And, you know, a hiccup that might lead to a derailment to a loss is a hiccup that leads to and then they can get back on track, right? I assume.
Absolutely. 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 You're more one-on-one with them. You're more hands-on with them. They're about the organization. And you know, selfishly enough, we don't want to spend our time and waste money and resources on somebody who doesn't want to be here. So
First
off, we make sure you want to be here. And you know, it saves money in the long run. Saves heartache, saves the cadet and the individual, and saves us from having to go back out and do another hiring class and everything like that. So We felt like it was a huge success for us. We were really happy with the outcome. We're really happy with our fire cadets. They have transitioned to the Fire 2.
really good group, really strong group. And, you can see their work ethic throughout the entire duration of the course and see what they're going to be about when they get out there. So when these lieutenants interact with them, our fire lieutenants now, they go, hey, I want that guy on my watch. I want him on my truck with me. So now they're bidding for these guys.
I was going to say, do you have like a fantasy fire draft, you know?
Sure, we absolutely. That's what we need to have. Anyway,
I love it.
It was a great program.
Yeah,
it was a great program. It was our first one. We're definitely going to do it. We're going to keep this standard up. So
it seems like the kind of thing where you think, why didn't we do it this way all along? You know, I mean, that's like Escambia Sheriff's Office doing the same thing. Because, and in their case, of course, you're also training to your policies and procedures, the law in Escambia County, which I assume right. You guys are doing something similar, which is you don't have to train them generically to be firefighters and then retrain them to be Escambia County firefighters. You just train them to be Escambia County firefighters from the beginning, which makes for a better integration and, better. It's like somebody doing an internship somewhere else and then coming to work for you. Well, why don't they do the internship for you? It's kind of how I think of it. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely spot on. That's absolutely correct. Because now, as you said, doing the standard or the generic training with Georgetown or another academy, and then having to come to us and then having to take another couple of months to get them up on our policies, our SOGs. No, we could teach to our standard as we're teaching the state standard. So, no, it was, kill two birds with one stone type thing. It was great. It was great.
That's outstanding. No, and one last real quick thing here is where are you at in terms of staffing? I know you're adding these 15, 12 full-time and, regular pay and, three volunteer, which do get paid. It's a whole complicated thing what that means. But, just it's a different category. Where are you at in terms of staffing? Are you at, above, below?
We are – so – if I remember correctly, and I look at my sheet now, we got some retirements coming up.
Oh, yeah.
This upcoming year in 2025. So we can't hire until there's a vacancy. So that's the downside of it. I can't supplant or put more people on right now in anticipation of retirements. So we have to handle those retirements as we go along. But as we stand right now, we're above. I think we're only three or four positions down, honestly.
Okay, well, that's good. I want to come back to this because this is actually really important. We're talking to Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety. Eric, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about. If just past Whiting Field northbound, it looks like northbound at Allentown and Whiting Field or Highway 89, we've got a semi versus semi wreck. It's very bad. They've got the State Road 87 closed down, so if you're traveling south, you'll be diverted over to Highway 89. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety. Eric, you said something that I had forgotten this was a problem, but it's not just a problem for you guys. I know it's also a problem for Pensacola Police Department. I assume it is also a problem for many law enforcement and fire departments around the area that you have to have a vacancy before you can make a hire. I will say that is a terrible approach to personnel management because that means you have a gap. And what it should be is when you know that somebody is going to be leaving, when you're having a vacancy coming, you should start hiring and training so that there's a seamless integration. I mean, I don't know whether that's a county needs to change their policy or what, but tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong, but it seems like this is a stupid policy.
I would love to pre-hire and have somebody ready to go and have a transitional period, but that's not the way government works. It's a position control roster. I have X amount of positions, and I can only hire for X amount of positions as they come open. So I can't anticipate or pre-hire for anybody who's fixing to leave. So that's just the way, and I hate to say that. I hate the phrase. That's just the way government's always done it. So,
if you ask for it, I will support you. If you go to the county committee, I will pound the table for you on your behalf for that. The same as I remember in the debates leading up to the election that, Ashley Hofberger, Strawberger, I almost mixed up the names. Ashley Hofberger had made the point that, if we have growing population, we shouldn't have to come back after the fact and realize we're five people down for our coverage area. We should have a plan for add two, add three when the population hits these areas. I mean, like, make a plan, for the future. It's the same principle. And you shouldn't have to say, well, we're at 273 right now, and, we got to ask for the five that we need. Like, all of this should be according to a plan instead of a reaction to things. So I will If you push for that, I will support you in it. 100%. I will support you.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all no, right, sir. Yeah, it's just it's just sensible. Hey, last, just a quick thing, a small thing, but I think people will find it interesting. You have one of your graduates I have known most of his life. Brent's son, Cat Country 98.7, Brent's son, Carson. And I mean, I have known Carson since he was a skinny little tiny kid, and now he is a big dude. I mean, he is a big, strong kid, and everybody as tall as his dad and a bodybuilder. And I just want to say extra congratulations to Carson for getting his graduation. That's really cool. One of the other things I want to talk with you about is County Commission recently approved 5 new trucks, engines, apparatus, whatever you want to call them, for fire rescue. I thought they were all replacements of aged trucks, but are any of them new, like expanded capacity, new?
One of them will be the tower truck, which we call platform truck, will be new. We have Tower 7, so it will not be replacing Tower 7. We'll be moving Tower 7 to a different area of operation and putting the new platform in service to put at Station 7 a little later down the road.
Ferry Pass? Is that 7 is Ferry Pass?
Yeah, Ferry Pass. I'm sorry. That's correct. Ferry Pass.
And for people who maybe don't know it, you don't need a platform unless you're dealing with typically high rises or apartment buildings, and Ferry Pass is the one that would respond to like UWF dorms or other things that are taller that are kind of in that vicinity. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. That's why we put the platform there. The other aerial devices, the 100-foot sticks, the ladder trucks, 100-foot ladders, we place those out on the beaches and out on the key.
For condos.
The beaches and everywhere where we have those high rise, exactly, condos and stuff like that. And they're a little bit easier to maneuver on a two-lane road and small parking lots versus a big platform truck. So you got to look at can the truck operate in the area it's in as well. So.
Station 2, the long-awaited Station 2 off of 9 Mile Road, last we checked, it was still not open yet. It's open yet?
It is open. Our fire crews are now operating out of that fire station at full capacity, and they are happy. of course, you know, they have more room. It's a brand nice new station. We started operating out of that station the Monday before last. Friday before last.
Okay.
So the guys went in Friday before last and have been operating out of that station since. Of course, new stations, you don't know what you don't know until you move in there. So they're finding a couple things on the punch list. We got to change this. We didn't think about this, but no major growing pains out of operating out of there. The guys were pretty happy and content.
The kitchen works? Because the last I heard, we did the grand opening under the former commissioner for reasons, and then it wasn't open, and then, you know, but the lingering question was about the kitchen. The kitchen's operational?
The kitchen is fully operational. Showers,
excellent.
Bathrooms, kitchen is fully operational because, Thanksgiving's coming tomorrow, so those guys got to cook their meal, so
right.
You got to make sure it's working.
You can't feed a firefighter, you can't have a firehouse. I mean, that's fairly straightforward. Paradise Beach, which was the Navy parcel that was going to become and sort of re-become, you know, because that area had lost its firehouse for a while, which was a problem, and now we're getting it back. Where are we at on that?
So right now we're still kind of waiting on the Navy. They had to go out for 90 days. They had to offer it up to any other federal programs before they offered it up to us. And in doing so, one of the federal programs, the HUD housing program, decided that they would like to take a look at it to see if they could use it. We're in a standby mode. I think the end of this month is the end of their 90 days, if I'm not mistaken. And then hopefully we'll hear something, but I haven't heard anything directly that HUD wants it or they could do something with it. So we're just waiting on that word, and then we'll go forward from there.
So this sounds to me, you correct me if I'm wrong, it used to sound to me like we are almost there any day. It sounds to me like maybe. Am I wrong?
Right now.
Okay.
Now, it's maybe. You're right.
So. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I know you guys will find another location because that's you have to. I mean, it needs to have a firehouse. Hey, last thing I wanted to get before we let you go, Eric. And by the way, thank you for being here on short notice on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Quick fire safety notes. Obviously, you know, don't deep fry a frozen turkey and do it outside the home and all that kind of stuff. But you tell me, what are the key things that you run into at this time of year for Thanksgiving that you want to make sure people hear this message loud and clear the day before?
Okay, loud and clear. First few things that we do is the frozen turkey one is one of the bigger ones that we run into on Thanksgiving Day. please make sure your turkey is absolutely thawed and that you're away from any buildings or any vegetation, you know, short trees or anything like that. Make sure you're in the open when you go to fry your turkey, and take your time, drop it in the oil, and make sure you don't have too much oil in the pot. So that's one.
And as dry as possible, I assume? As dry as possible?
That is, please, as dry as possible, yep. Please. Yes, absolutely. The second thing we see on Thanksgiving is cooking mishaps. So I know everybody's busy and you got your family there and they're probably aggravating you and you're not paying attention to the stuff on the stove or in the stove, or you leave real quick to go down the road to visit somebody. Make sure that you're, all your appliances are turned off when you're done. Make sure you don't leave anything on the eyes as when you're done cooking and things in the oven. So make sure no cooking mishaps. Everybody be safe tomorrow with your cooking, because that's the big prep stuff.
Have your turkey, have your sides, have your fire extinguisher.
Absolutely. Have your fire extinguisher. It's right there in your checklist. The last thing is external heating sources. So things such as candles. I know we all like ambiance. We like to set the mood, put the table out and all your centerpieces and everything. But those candles on the table can fall over. People knock things over. So just be careful with your external heating sources. And then I do want to give a plug real quick, because we are going to see some cold weather starting Friday night and through Saturday and Sunday, is your heating sources. Make sure if you're using electric blankets, don't leave them on all day. Use them only when you're utilizing while you're sleeping. Make sure you have open flames away from your bed and away from anything combustible. And turn all your, you know, oil lamp or your oil radiator type devices off. And don't use the stove and don't use open flame in your house to heat your house.
Amen. Amen. Look, we want our firefighters to have the most boring Thanksgiving and Black Friday they can possibly have, because we want you to be safe and for them not to have to run calls. Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety in Escambia County. Sir, as always, thank you for the great information and doing what you do to keep us safe. I appreciate it.
Andrew, thank you very much. Appreciate you, sir.
You bet.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
And you too. Happy Thanksgiving. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that fatality of two semis that impacted each other on Allentown Road in 87. 87 is completely shut down. That's near Central High School. So they'll divert you to 89. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Harris Faulkner is coming to Pensacola. Join Marcus Point Baptist Church for the Spirit of Christmas, featuring Fox News host and author Harris Faulkner. There will be incredible music and life-changing moments at every campus. We will have fun kids programs and prizes, as well as a free meal for everyone. Join on December 8th at 10 a.m. at any of our locations in Pensacola, Beulah, Molino, or North Pace. The Spirit of Christmas, December 8th at Marcus Point Baptist Church, featuring Harris Faulkner.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Blue, red, green, green, yellow, red, blue.
And I can still see the circle now.
Oh, man. One of the best games. I loved Simon growing up. David Wayne is... what I love particularly is I'm watching you listen to it I can see you moving your hand around to the different.
Oh yeah. I had those sounds memorized.
David Wayne's in the news. David, did you play Simon as a kid?
Oh yeah.
All right, of course. All right, tell me about the news, sir.
Well, TV star Wendy Williams has reportedly taken a turn for the worse in her battle with dementia. Of course, she used to host the Wendy Williams Show, which was diagnosed last year with dementia. Lawyers say she has become permanently incapacitated now, and they're pursuing legal action against A&E Networks for a docuseries about Williams that was released earlier this year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. What happened in the Middle East yesterday? Coming up.